Very shortly, I'll be chatting with John Rafferty, who is the chief executive of the CNIB in Canada. We will be looking back at the year for the charity and looking ahead to 2022. However, John is with us right now to give us an update on a couple of projects which we have spoken about in the past, but seem to have moved on quite a bit now. John, thanks once again for joining us.
Well, thank you for continuing to put up with me, Alan.
I won't edit that bit out. Let's look at payments. You know, a lot of people were using card payments, chip and PIN, contactless payments, but there have been some changes to the sort of chip and PIN point of sale devices. But it's something which you guys have been on top of.
It's one of those accessibility barriers that Canadians who are blind or partially sighted, I'm sure everyone in the UK is the same, that you interact with probably more frequently than lots of other barriers, is a point of sale device, is that point in time where you're at a checkout in a retail location or you're at a restaurant and you get handed a device. And having an accessible experience for that is something that is, I think, incredibly important. We're pleased with the project that we talked about, as you said, Alan, in the past, with Canada's largest processor of payments called Moneris. And we now have deployed in tens of thousands of locations across the country accessible payment terminals. And this, I think, is hopefully the beginning of a forever solution that won't just be in place in Canada, but will make its way, throughout the globe, as many of these organizations are global.
Many of the terminals themselves do have sort of physical buttons which you can use. Obviously, the screens may be of no use to people who are blind, but there are more and more now which are completely touch screens, so that there's nothing really tactile there. So how have you guys looked to make these kind of things more accessible?
We've got a commitment from Moneris and two of the manufacturers of the physical devices, Verifone and Ingenico, to always have tactile keypads as part of it. But by touching and holding the 5 button down, Alan, with these new terminals, it will give you audible prompts. It will give you audible prompts. It will give you options around getting your receipt texted to you and just navigate you through the process, including whether you're approving the amount, then the tip, and then the total, because it's that standardization that doesn't exist that creates elements of the barrier as well. If every point of sale device worked exactly the same way, we can teach our way and learn our way around some of the inaccessible pieces, but this is an accessible option. It also has, by pushing the 5 button down, an option to increase font, invert contrast. So for people who are partially sighted, low vision, and quite frankly, anyone over the age of 75, it will be a more accessible device.
How receptive have the manufacturers been to the changes as well?
These types of changes, you know, at the manufacturer and corporate level, you know, we are somewhat dragging them through the hedge on this one. We've got one really good partner. I was speaking at a federal regulatory body around financial services, and we now have another large provider saying, listen, we need to talk, because once someone is offering this accessible solution, it just needs to become standard. You know, you may or may not remember when that was the case with the automated tellers, the bank machines, and there are standards now, and accessible tellers are everywhere. And that will be the case, we hope, with point of sale devices moving forward.
Let's take a look then at the services that you provide. Now, we've talked many times about the geography of Canada. Providing services to all those areas with physical offices was difficult. And I suppose with the pandemic as well, you know, there's perhaps a different way of looking at providing services. But you guys were already looking at a more mobile offering.
It did get put on the back burner a little bit because of the pandemic, but it's full steam ahead now, and really excited to have this mobile offering coming to communities. I would touch on the virtual programming, and I know I do it as a bit of a tag at the end of the show every time we chat, Alan, but I mean, there are hundreds of virtual programs every week with an incredible variety of topics, and anyone from the UK or anyone else, wherever you are in the world listening to this program, can go to our website, register and sign up for a program. Time zones may not always work for everyone, but they're there, and they are attended by thousands of people every single week. And it's great, but the community also does say, we also want to get back to in-person work. And the idea that we can have a mobile offering in the smaller urban centers periodically, so kind of coming to that community for a few weeks here, a few weeks there throughout a year, is going to provide that in-person service, that one-on-one technology training, that in-person training around yoga and balance or adaptive skills training through the lens of cooking clubs, book clubs. Those are the things that we're going to be doing with our mobile hubs. And it's very exciting. I saw the schedule of where they're going to be in January, February, March, and just thrilled. Hopefully the weather will cooperate because this is Canada.
So you'll have these vehicles sort of traveling around, you know, will there be setups in the vehicles themselves and in sort of local halls in a lot of the outlying areas too?
The vehicle has a partnership in each community with various organizations depending on the community. In some cases it could be a local library, some cases it's a community center. So in terms of a location that they have, and then where they're physically setting up other programs inside partner buildings. So we've negotiated the partnerships in each of these communities, and we'll start getting more active feedback on what people like about this and what things we can do differently or better. But it's exciting that this concept is coming to life.
It'd be great to hear the feedback when they're up and running in January, John. We are almost out of time. If people would like to find out more about some of the topics that we've been discussing, or indeed anything about CNIB, including those virtual events with that open invite, how do people get in touch?
CNIB.ca is a good resource. It's not perfect, but it's a good resource. It's got a list of all of our virtual offerings. Our Facebook followers, I think we have 19 or 20,000 Facebook followers, so there's a good amount of content that comes through Facebook. As well as Instagram and Twitter. You can find us in your media of choice, Alan.
John, always great to chat with you. We will catch up once again, but thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Oh, thank you for having me.